Hi, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We're running a little late today, and we have special guest Kathy Frankovich. Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hi, Amy.
Okay, we're going to talk about energy fields and the basics. I think we got an echo on the line, so.
Yeah. Do you think that I should change a phone?
I don't know, honey. I don't know if it's my phone because it got upgraded, so I don't know. But
yeah,
anyway, why don't we just
Yeah, there's a little distance that I sense in the phone line or something. But
okay.
if people can hear me, I can just go ahead.
Okay.
Very good.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Why don't you just go in there and Kathy? So we were talking about energy fields. Our last about a month or so ago, we did a show on myofascial release, which is what you do. And we were talking about when the different energy fields and how that, you know, corresponds. So you graciously volunteered to do a series of shows with me. Thank you. And we're going to talk about that today. So, Kathy, you did some interesting research. You want to tell us about what the energy field is and you want to take it from there?
Yeah, well, that was one of the questions that came up from the last show as we were referring to the energy field and using it in healing. But some folks didn't understand exactly what the energy field was. So then for today, I thought that I would go into a little more detail and describe the energy field. And I have a few things that I'm planning on going over, and that is defining what the human energy field is, and also talking about some of the scientific research that has gone on over the years that you know, prove its existence and have measured it and looked at it in different ways. Then we're going to talk about the actual anatomy and the function of the energy field, including the major energy centers in the body, which are the chakras, and also the layers of the energy field that surround the body that could be also referred to as the aura. So I'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about how this energy field relates to healing. And the other one that I wanted to just bring up, because I think it's so interesting, is how it relates to the development of the fetus, the little baby going inside the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great.
So,
when we're on our journey of healing, if we're doing any, like, counseling or any work on ourselves, having, like we talked about before, a healer or practitioner to kind of ease you through that process with the spiritual end is really good. So you're just going to go into,
this model of, you know, the energy field, it includes the physical aspect of the body and the spiritual and emotional aspects, too. So we're going to talk about that, the different schools of thought about wellness. I am going to get into all that. First of all, just defining what is the energy field, the human energy field, it is sort of an electromagnetic field that surrounds the human body and interpenetrates it. So it surrounds us like a big egg and also penetrates right through the body. It's got specific layers, like the major layers that we talk about are seven different layers, and they correspond to the seven energy centers up and down the center of the body, known as the chakras. The purpose of it is it's how that we absorb energy into our bodies and how we gain life force from the environment. And this energy field or egg, this bubble around us, it can extend out about maybe 3 feet outside the entire body. So it's like we're walking around in a little bubble of our own energy. One way of picturing it, I think kind of a helpful idea, you know, because we can't see it, and most of us can't see it. Some people can, but most of us can't, and it's hard to imagine it. But I think back to when we were in grammar school and we were learning about magnets, and the magnet has a positive side and a negative side, and there's the energy going from one side of the magnet to the other. And then the teacher would have you lay a sheet of paper over the magnet, and then they'd sprinkle the metal filings on top of the paper to you remember that experiment
mm-hmm.
from grammar school?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And then,
wrong, yes.
Right. And then all those little metal filings, they form a pattern around the magnet.
Mm-hmm.
They go from positive to negative, and they kind of surround it, you know, like a little bubble or a little force field around the magnet. So you could think of your body as having a little force field around it like that.
Okay.
It's also been described as kind of pulsating. The energy doesn't stay still in one point, but it kind of moves around the body.
Mm-hmm.
And how have people maybe experienced it in everyday life without realizing that they were feeling it? So, for example, have you ever known that someone was standing behind you even though you didn't see them or hear them come in? Did you ever have
yes.
that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes,
yes, you do.
If
yes.
you sense
definitely.
That a person is there and you haven't seen them, that's your energy field picking up on their energy field and giving you a little
okay.
information. Or when you meet somebody, do you immediately know if you're like them or not, if you're going to get along or not? It's your energy
mm-hmm.
fields communicating.
Or
okay. have you ever walked into a store or a room and you immediately feel whether you're wanted in there or not? You know,
mm-hmm.
you might go, I've
oh,
gone
yeah.
into places where you feel such like almost like you're being repelled right out.
Oh, definitely. Or that's, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's kind of an example of the energy that's set up in a place.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
okay.
you know, that's basically it. It's an electromagnetic kind of field.
Mm-hmm.
But it will, as we go along, we'll see how it can relate to the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects.
Okay,
so moving okay. on a little bit to the scientific background and the history, people have known about all of this energy field for like thousands and thousands of years. In Chinese medicine, which goes back a long time, it's referred to as qi energy. And the Chinese work more with the meridians and the acupuncture points, which I'm not going to talk about so much, but it is another system of energy through the body. And with acupuncture, that is, the acupuncture points is where another way that energy is taken into the body. Also in Ayurvedic medicine, from India, the energy is referred to as prana. So people have known
okay.
about it for a long time. And then also, even if you think of pictures of certain saints or, you know, of visions that people have had, you often see like an aura of light around the person. That's one
mm-hmm.
another way of picturing the energy field. So traditionally, you know, in our medical model that we have now, well, it's probably changing a little bit, but we've had what's known as a Newtonian school of thought, which kind of came about with Sir Isaac Newton about 300
okay.
years ago. And he was a physicist and a mathematician, and he developed laws of gravity and the laws of motion in physics. So
mm-hmm.
the doctors had come to think of the body as operating like a machine. You know, you have your pump,
mm-hmm.
the heart, you have your filter, the kidneys, you have your, you know, bones and muscles, which are like pulleys working on levers.
Mm-hmm.
Lungs are like bellows taking the air in and out. So kind of a mechanistic view, and that if one part was broken, you could just fix it, kind of like you fix your car. You take it to the shop
mm-hmm.
and they fix the part that's broken. And that's the way we looked at medicine and well-being for quite a while, Sir Isaac mm-hmm. Newton. But now,
mm-hmm.
Since we've had another scientists come along, Albert Einstein, and his
mm-hmm.
theory of relativity, he showed the relation between energy and matter. So now
mm-hmm.
we know that energy and matter can go back and forth. It's a two-way street. They can convert. And
mm-hmm.
the body can then be viewed as an energy system. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's that theory of
relativity. Yeah, Einstein's my buddy. My buddy. I like him. He's a Pisces.
You like him.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he was a good guy. Let me just see what I was going to say here. When this equation of his, this theory of relativity, energy is equal to matter times the speed of light squared. So it has to do with the speed of light. And if it's the speed of light, that's related to this physical world that we know, most of the things that we know and we're familiar with. But then there's also the possibility that the speed could be faster than the speed of light. And that's where this world of etheric energy or human energy field comes in. And it's been referred to as a negative space-time universe. And the other, when it's the speed of light, that's the positive space-time universe. That's what we're familiar with. The part we're not too familiar with, but we can get more familiar with, is this negative space-time or etheric energy, which they actually, are looking at and starting to measure it. So that energy was a magnetic energy, and Einstein worked with another doctor called William Tiller, and they developed this called this Tiller-Einstein model, looking at etheric, kind of etheric energy, and how this is all integrated into the physical and even spiritual elements. So it was really a whole new idea about the physical, about the person being more than just a machine. The nice thing about this negative space-time universe, or the etheric field, the etheric body, is that it has a tendency to correct itself. It wants to get back into order rather than chaos. So that means that we as humans can self-correct what's wrong with us. Our body will naturally want to go back to its corrected state or a state of balance, so that this is useful in healing. We know that, given the opportunity or being supported, we can heal what's going on, heal what's wrong. So I think that's really important.
Yes, it is, because the universe is self-correcting and self-organizing too, which is
right.
Some people don't realize that. It helps. When we work together, it just seems like things do go back into order, or it does correct itself. It just needs a little help.
Right, when you support it and, look at it and allow it, it'll go back into order. So, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Amy.
Let you talk. Sorry. No, I was going to say, it feels like to me that Einstein was on the ball. I mean, he always looked beyond, I think he was innovative. He looked beyond different things that was supposedly in vogue. I don't know. That's just my thought. He was just, he thought outside the box.
I think that he did make some references to divine and spiritual things, didn't he, with his work?
Yes, he did. Definitely. There's quotes. Yes.
Yeah, the quotes that he had, which I don't have in front of me right now, but he did refer to the divine as like the motivation for doing all this research into whatever he did, the energy fields and what have you. So he recognized that right away. And
exactly. Yes,
actually, even for myself, when I physiology or pathophysiology course I had to take for graduate school, we were getting into such deep molecular functions of the body, and they were so incredible, and also really talked about the body's ability to repair itself, like DNA has the ability to fix itself. If there's a mistake, it can correct itself. And rather than memorizing everything about the DNA, I kind of just sat there and was like, this is just divine. I can see the hand of divine in this plan in the human body with all these incredible little mechanisms where the DNA can fix itself. You know, when cells are reproducing and little glitches in the DNA can be fixed. How amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How divine, right?
It is. It is. Oh, it is, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Boggles my mind. That's probably why I never really could get my head wrapped around when I was taking science younger. When I was younger, when I went back to college in my late 20s, early 30s, then I really appreciated it. Because I had experience, and I could wrap my head, you know, self around it a little bit better. So,
I totally
agree. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Sometimes it blows my mind when you're doing, when you see the, I see energy fields, and it's like, wow, you know, you can just see when, it's just, I have a different vision than some people other do. So,
it's interesting. Yeah, so, well, it's already about 20 after 4. I have a few more scientists here, but I don't know if we want to talk about
Oh, go ahead. Take your time. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
I'm looking up Einstein quotes, and I'm not finding anything that's jumping out at me right now. So
we had a Dr. Robert Becker, who was an orthopedic surgeon, who discovered electric energy involved in healing amputated limbs on experimental animals. There was like electric potential. And then he was able to use little electric currents to help in bone healing. So so that's part of it. A Russian scientist, Alexander Gervich, he studied all this and found that there were actual photons of light, actual light coming from our DNA. That is manufactured by the mitochondria in the cells in the body. So when they say that we're a being of light, we really are a being of light. There is detectable photons coming from our cells. In 1988, in UCLA, Dr. Valerie Hunt, she measured the differences in the energy. It was measured on the skin, and found much, much greater energy in the areas of the chakras than in the other areas of the body. So they were measuring them with very fine instruments. Kirlian photography from the 1940s, they could photograph an energy field, and they did that famous leaf photographing where you take a picture of the leaf and it has an energy field around it, and you cut off a part of the leaf, take another picture, and the energy field is still there. So they removed the physical, but they didn't remove the energetic form.
Okay.
Okay. And also in the 1960s, there was another Chinese doctor, researcher that was working with the acupuncture points, and they injected a radioactive tracer and then tracked it, and they found that when you put the tracer in the acupuncture sites, it will flow up and down that meridian or that little energy track in the body. But if you put the tracer in just a spot that's not one of the acupuncture points, it simply diffuses out in a circle, doesn't follow the track. So that was kind of interesting. You know, it's almost like a vein or an artery without having the artery there. It's an energy channel. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I wanted to move on to the chakras and the layers of the energy field. You know, what are they? The chakras are energy centers or little vortexes of energy, and the major ones are the seven major ones, and they follow up and down the middle of the body from the root, which is, you know, between the legs and pointing down to the crown, which is, you know, right above the head and pointing up. And I'll go over each one specifically, but they're the energy centers up and down the middle of the body. And they're the way we take energy in. It feeds the various organs within the body and helps keep us healthy. Okay. Chakra number one is the root chakra. The color associated with it is red, and it's located at the base of the spine and the perineal floor, so that's between your legs and it points down. And this one is related to our survival and our will to be on the earth and to be here living. It has to do with our adrenal glands, the kidneys, the spine, and has to do with stress response. If we have a blockage or a malfunction in the root, we might have blood disorders, hypertension, or fatigue. Okay. The next chakra up is the sacral. That's located in the lower abdomen below the navel. It's related to the color orange. This has to do with desire, pleasure, reproduction, relationships, feelings, and emotion. So it's related to the sexual organs and the reproductive system and the lower abdomen. Any illnesses that could be associated with problems in the sacral chakra would be like colitis, infertility, premenstrual syndrome, hip problems. Also, this area holds any memory of sexual abuse or trauma. So you could work in that area to help release that.
Okay.
The next chakra up is the solar plexus. It's located right at the base of the breastbone, or the sternum, and that's associated with yellow. And this has to do with our self-image, our personal power, and how we manifest ourselves in the world, how we use our will forces to bring about what we desire to bring about. It's related to the pancreas and insulin and how we digest our life, the stomach, the liver, the gallbladder, and the upper abdomen.
Okay.
And illnesses related to this part would be diabetes, addictions, or anorexia. You know, this isn't an all-inclusive list, but that's just a few examples.
Right. This is just a beginner's basic today, just to get people some ideas of what we're talking about.
Yeah, we want to get the basic ideas out there. The next chakra up, the fourth one, is the heart center. Yes, the color is green, and it's located right at the heart, right in the center of the chest up there. Purpose of this one is love. Loving ourselves and loving others, having caring, compassion, and empathy. And the heart is also the bridge between the three lower chakras and the three upper ones above it. The lower ones being related more to physical aspect, and the three uppers being more spiritually oriented.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
It's about balance, love and balance, and bridging the physical and the spiritual. The heart just has a lot of functions.
It certainly does, and if you take care of it, like in my family,
right.
You're screwed, basically.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
the heart
right.
is a very, it's the center, so yeah, okay. Right. Go on, I just didn't know that. Okay, go ahead, something new every day.
It has to do, with the heart, blood, vagus nerve circulation, chest, and thymus gland. Problems related to it, heart disease, asthma, chronic fatigue, carpal tunnel. I don't know how they got in there, but it did. And then also, it's a place where we hold all of our brokenheartedness and our betrayal, which we know about. And it's all in that heart.
Right, yeah.
And these chakras also serve as kind of, little storage areas. And we can keep things tucked away in there out of our consciousness until we want to really look at them, and then we can work with the chakra, and then we can find out what's in there and what needs to be healed. So they're kind of like little storage areas.
Yeah, they are. And we were talking about that last night, how, you know, you can have, sometimes you can have physical manifestations, like a heart. You can literally, if your heart's breaking, you literally have chest pains.
Right,
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. If you've had someone really betray you or a horrible breakup or something, you actually feel pain, and it's in the chakra. It's not a really a heart muscle pain. It's the chakra. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. So then we'll move along.
Go ahead. So on.
Pardon me?
No, go ahead. Carry on.
Oh, okay. The next one is our throat, and that's related to is a blue color. That has to do with our self-expression and our willingness to express and communicate our truth in the world, being true to ourselves and being able to speak it. It's related
to
the pair.
I remember you had to clear that for me because I was invalidated from certain people from my past, and I remember you had to really clear that puppy.
Right, and we all do. We pretty much all do, because, you know, when we are kids, we're not. There's certain things we're not allowed to say or speak about, and that throat chakra can get closed down. And when that carries on into adulthood, and you don't speak what your truth is, you get into trouble. And it usually relates back to something. It has a lot to do with those childhood issues. It has to do with grief and loss, not expressing it. Again, asthma, because it's related to the breath and bronchial tubes and lungs. And, you know, your ability to take in air and let out air and express. So it's all there. It has to do with parathyroid and thyroid. So that's all in that area.
Okay.
So now we'll move on again. And we have the brow, that's or the third eye. That is located right in the middle of the forehead. And the color for that is indigo. And it's related to your pituitary gland. This has to do with our imagination, visioning things, dreaming things, seeing auras. It also holds memory of painful things that we've seen. And all of our thought patterns and beliefs that we hold in the brain. It's all right there in that area.
Cool.
And then the crown is the one that is on top of the head, right on the top of our head facing upward. It's like a little cone or vortex that goes up. Yes, the colors are either violet or white. The gland is the pineal. And this one, the crown, is our connection with the divine, with God, with having spiritual understanding, knowing. It's also been called the seat of the soul. And it's related to the upper brain. I think of it as the spiritual connection. So those
connection
are the main...
Divine.
Those,
connection to the divine, basically.
Yes, divine. It's connection with divine. So, and now we move on to the layers of the energy field, our layers of our aura, which are a series of, you know, we'll just talk about the major seven ones. These are all distinct layers that are superimposed over the body, but also penetrating through the body. So it isn't like one ends and the next one begins. They're kind of all there at the same time. And each one has a higher frequency or higher vibration than the one below it. So we could almost think about it like radio stations with an increasing frequency as you go up. Okay? So the first layer in this aura, or energy field around the body, is the etheric body. And that's a little layer of energy that extends about a half an inch from the surface of the skin. And it's described as being a little bluish in color. And it provides a matrix, or a little energy matrix, upon which the physical body is supported. So it kind of, you know, just goes along with all of our organs and helps support them. The next layer out is the emotional body. and that's associated with feelings and emotions, love, joy, excitement. After that, we have the third layer of the mental. That's related to our thoughts and our mental processes. The fourth one is the astral level. That one is, again, a bridge. It's connected to the heart, and it has to do with thought communication and unspoken communication. An example of that in real life is when you might be meeting someone, or you know, communication between the opposite sexes when you meet, and you're not saying much verbally, but there's a lot of communication going on in different levels. Gee, I wonder what they would be like. Gee, well, you know, a lot of questions and testing out the waters can take place on that level. Also, near-death experiences are experienced in this level. Okay. Another thing at this level has to do, because it's connected with the heart, is we form heartstrings to another person. Say when you are in love and connected with another person, that astral level can form the heartstrings that connect you to the other person. The next layer is the etheric template, and that is a template for the etheric layer. It isn't the same as the etheric layer that's close to the body. It's another layer that's out from the body, and it contains all the forms of the physical body. So you can work in the etheric layer, the etheric template layer, when you do healing on the physical body. You can work on, say, an organ or something in the etheric layer, in the etheric template. The next layer is the celestial body, and that's where we experience connection, spiritual connection with God, and a connection with unconditional love. And the seventh is called the Ketheric template, or causal body. And this is where past lives are held, memories of past lives, and the current life plan. You know, the plan that we create with our spirit guides before we incarnate. We have a plan for this life and what we want to accomplish in this life, and that's held in that seventh layer. All right. It's pretty amazing. The other one I just wanted to mention is called the Core Star. Barbara Brennan talks about this in her book, Hands of Light. It's a very good reference. But this is the divine center. It's actually the level of God within the person. And it's timeless and it exists forever. It's really our divine center. And it's right kind of in the middle of the body, kind of maybe just around the belly button or a little bit above. And it's actually the clairvoyant person, someone who can visualize these things, can see it as a star, kind of like a whitish star in the center of the body. But, you know, I always think about people as having a divine center, and we all have a God within, and that's the layer, that's the part where the God within is, more or less. Isn't that interesting?
Cool. Yeah, I've heard of that, the Soul Star. Yeah. Actually, we work with that, I think, with IET, but we use it on a different level. So, or the integrated energy therapy that I use. You use a different modality, but it's the same. We all get to the same area.
That's right. That's right. That's the beauty thing of it. There's so many different ways to relate to the same things and the same issues. So all these layers are part of that faster-than-light energy universe that we're talking about, but they're there. So the next idea is, you know, how does this all relate to health within this new paradigm that we have? And the way it relates is that we can have blockages in the energy field, and we can have ways that energy stops flowing. And when energy stops flowing or stops being taken into the body and nourishing our organs the way it's supposed to, then symptoms can start cropping up and illnesses can start cropping up. So it really tells us that disease starts in the energy field and then will eventually cause symptoms in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So we can work in the energy field to reopen it and get things going again. But also with the paradigm, when we're working with the energy field, we're also not only working with the mechanistic aspect of the body, we're also looking at emotional and spiritual and seeing how that plays into it, because emotional issues can cause blockages. And usually that's, you know, it is, physical illness is related to an emotional thing. And when we can work with the emotion and release it, then we can free up that energy and get things going again.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, there are other causes of illness, too, but this is one aspect of it. I'm not going to say that, you know, because your energy field is blocked, that's the only way a person gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of hereditary influences and various other influences, but this is certainly one of them. And, you know, there's many modalities that we can use, you know, as you just mentioned, Amy, that there's many ways to reach it. The way I work is a combination of healing touch and myofascial release, working with the connective tissue and dialoguing and working with the chakras. You work with angelic energy. You know, there's also therapeutic touch. Acupuncture works with it. Homeopathy works with it. So we have a whole range of choices as to how we want to work with this. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, and, you know, it does help to be, that's why I have the show, so we can educate people on what, you know, different areas you can work with, because one modality may not resonate with you. Some people don't want to work with the angels. I've worked with people that, in their religious beliefs, that are against, they don't believe in angels, so someone may come go for Reiki or whatever it is.
Right, right. They could simply go for simple therapeutic touch, which is just, it would be not related to, I mean, related to any type of spiritual concept, just like an energetic flow or electrical or magnetic. You could think of it that way. It would be very simple, and you know, they might still experience some healings. They might not describe it in spiritual terms, but would still feel better, more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyways, as I, you know, over the years have been doing my reading and studying on all these things, the one thing I came across that I thought was so interesting, and you know, it stuck with me, is the idea that how this energy field is intact, just as the sperm and the egg come together in the fetal development, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have this miracle of reproduction where you have the sperm from the dad and the egg from the mom, and they come together, and it starts out as one little cell, and it multiplies, and it goes to two and then four, and it keeps on multiplying. And from what is one cell, you get an entire human being with all these organ systems, and they're all working, and they're all very specialized, and they're all doing their job. Well, how in the world does a cell know to go to a certain place and to turn into a nervous system cell? How does it know to make brain? How does another one know to make bone? How does another one know to make stomach? How does that happen?
Yeah.
And
amazing. It is really amazing.
It's almost incomprehensible as to how that could happen.
Right.
Of course, it's all in the genetics. Well, you're going to have blue eyes, you're going to have blonde hair, black hair, curly hair, straight hair. It's all there. But how do these little cells that start out all exactly the same form all of this? Well, there's been studies done, and what it boils down to is that the whole etheric field, the whole template for the baby is there right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the beginning of development, you have a little energy field of this baby with everything completely mapped out, a whole matrix. and that matrix serves as a guide for telling these cells where to go and how to form.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of just made sense to me. And mm-hmm. it was kind of a nice, comforting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And
yeah, it's amazing. It boggles my mind. It really does.
Yeah,
and divine
you know, we might say, well, what about when children are malformed or something happens?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't claim to have all the answers, but just suppose that this soul or this being actually did make a life plan with their spirit guides mm-hmm. and in the spiritual world, they may have made a plan for mm-hmm. how their life should be. And I don't know, but it might be that mm-hmm. that was part of the plan, too. It's kind of a jump to
mm-hmm.
say that, but it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. And Barbara Brennan does talk about that
mm-hmm.
in her book, too. So anyways, as far as references for people, you can see that I
mm-hmm.
like to refer to Barbara Brennan. The other one that I like to refer to is Dr. Richard Gerber. He's a medical doctor who, along with his medical studies, took on a whole study of energy medicine or vibrational medicine, and has a wonderful textbook out there, too. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still building, like, a suggested reading, so if you want to email those to me, Kathy, the names and the authors and the names of the books, I'll put that under the healing section, because I am doing, on my break, I'm doing, like, you know, suggested reading and putting
yeah.
it on the slate.
Okay,
you know,
well, these are two of the great
so.
Ones. Certainly not all there is. There's a lot out there, but these are very reliable. I should
mm-hmm.
also mention, you know, if people wanted to start to experience this and work with the energy field themselves to bring about some healing and some comfort for family and friends, the
mm-hmm.
way that I did it was I got involved with Healing Touch, or Healing Touch International, which is a nursing continuing education program. They could look it up
mm-hmm.
online, Healing Touch International, and they could find that whole, it's a whole course of study. The other course of study is Therapeutic Touch, called TT, and that's another nursing supported continuing education program. And they have trainings. Actually, trainings for both of these are all around the country and around the world. So it's very well established.
Okay.
It's very reputable. And it's a great way to get started and see what resonates
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, there's healingtouchinternational.org. That's a website.
Yeah.
And that's one. And what's the other one you're talking
about? For Therapeutic
about?
Touch, I know the organization for that is Nurse Healers Professional Associates. Nurse Healers
mm-hmm.
Professional Associates. And that's their organization. And they would have all the Therapeutic Touch courses.
Mm-hmm.
But I recommend those. I recommend these guys because they're great. They have, you know,
mm-hmm.
national conferences every year. They have continuing ed. They have, you know, they have a lot, and they have certifications and the whole thing you can
mm-hmm.
go through.
Hmm.
So,
hmm.
is there
yeah,
anything
just,
else that you wanted to go over, Amy? Because I do
there.
Have an idea.
Definitely. Lemurian Touch. Now, what's that again? Lemurian?
Oh, the Lemurian. Yeah, Lemurian Healing.
Lemurian.
Is healing that works with all those major chakras that we talked about, the 1 through 7,
mm-hmm.
up the center of the body. And we kind of, you know, get the person into a very relaxed meditative state, and we call on the chakras to open a little bit. We set our intention for the highest and greatest
mm-hmm.
good of the person. And then we work with the energy in each chakra to see if there's an issue that needs to be cleared. And sometimes, you know, it's a hurt, or it's a belief say that we're not deserving or that we're responsible for somebody else, there might be a faulty belief or something held in there that we need to clear. And it's a way of clearing that out and actually reprogramming our DNA to hold a new thought or a positive thought or belief in its place. So we can work through, you know, all the chakras and see what's in each one, or we could really center on which one is causing the most upheaval or blockage at any particular time, and then just focus on that one. Usually when I do some healing work with people, there might be one to two areas that are more blocked and that are blocking off the rest. And when we open that, then it feels like it's more open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's what we do.
That
and then, you know,
yeah,
with
so
that...
When, we were also going to talk about something else, and my brain's not working today, so...
Well, you know, Amy, what I also had in mind, if we had a few extra minutes, and if...
yes, we do. Yeah.
And the listeners, if they want to do this, I would try to talk people through a little exercise where they could begin to experience a little energy between their own hands to feel it.
Okay.
Do you think that sounds like a good idea?
That sounds good, yeah.
Yeah,
because, yeah. That'd be cool. Go ahead. We've got so many minutes.
What we're going to do is do a little exercise with people at home. If they want to sit down and kind of take a few minutes quiet, you know, put down what you're doing or what you're busy with and just take a few minutes to maybe center yourself, take a couple deep breaths and relax and get your mind a little bit cleared. And at least for maybe 5 minutes or so, set aside anything that you're worried about and let yourself have a few minutes just to begin to feel this energy. So what people can do is get comfortable in a chair and just kind of like maybe shake their hands out, shake their arms out, and kind of as if you're shaking, you know, water off the end of your hands and you don't have a towel and you just got to shake things off, and that's to begin to get the energy flowing a little bit. And then after you do that, kind of just extend both arms out to the side, you know, as far as you can extend them, and then kind of open your hands and open your palms right up and extend all the fingers out and just give them a good stretch and kind of hold that for a couple seconds. And then release it, and then kind of extend out again and open those palms and those fingers up again. And get them all extended, and maybe give the hands another little shake, and then, you know, rub your hands together in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them together and rub, and make, you know, rub them together in a little circle. Okay, and when you feel like that energy is kind of loosened up, you can begin to... I call it gathering the energy between our hands. And that means that we kind of bring our hand, take our hands and have them about 4 feet apart. And then slowly bring them together until they're almost touching. And then pull them apart again. And then slowly bring them together again. Slowly, slowly bring them together to approach each other. And take them apart. Slowly bring them together. And by doing this, you're beginning to gather a little energy between your palms. So now when you do it, bring them together, but begin to notice what you feel between the palms. Don't let them touch, but start noticing a feeling and see how close you can bring those hands together and notice what it is, but don't let them touch. And what does that feel like? What does that begin to feel like when you do that? Did you try to do this, Amy?
Yeah, I've done this numerous times, yes.
Yeah, and what does it feel like when you do that?
To me, it feels like there's an energy field between my hands, and it feels like it's, to me, it's like, I don't know, I get the feeling rubbery. I don't know why. It's like, you know, a rubber ball that you try to squish, and it goes back and forth, it repels.
Yeah. Like a little cushiony feeling?
Yeah, cushiony, yeah.
Cushiony, like you're in a little, almost like a little sponge rubber and it comes back.
Yeah, like those, yeah, rubber balls, you know, those stress balls.
Yeah, okay, yours is like a stress ball. I think of it, when I do this, I feel like a little, almost like in a cotton cloud. So you can do that and see, you can feel quite a bit between the palms when they're getting close but not touching.
Right, exactly.
And then the other way of doing it is to take your fingers and have like those, not your thumb, but the other four fingers, bring them completely opposite each other with fingertips pointing to each other, and bring them in about a half or a quarter of an inch apart and hold them there and notice what you feel between those fingertips. And for me, it's almost like a little bit of tingly when you got those fingertips pointing at each other.
Yeah. Well, my palms are very
apart,
warm and hot right now.
And when your brain is on other things, when you pull them apart a little bit, it's almost like a feeling like you're pulling a little taffy between.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of, gum or taffy. Yeah.
Gum or taffy, like little strings of taffy between there, and then bring it together, a little zingy or tingly a little bit, and then pull apart. There's that little taffy feeling, like there's a little string of connection between them. And so that really, I think that is the beginning of feeling an energy field. You can work with it right between your two palms. Now, what else you can do is if you have a friend or your husband or your child or somebody in the house with you, you can stand behind them and you can say, close your eyes, and I'm going to bring my two hands, start about 5 feet above, and then lower them down to where the person's head is. They're sitting in a chair in front of you. And ask them to raise their hand when they feel that something is above their head. So, you know, you're kind of, they're sitting there with their eyes closed. Your hands are 3 or 4 feet above their head, and you're slowly coming down with your hands right over their head. When do they raise their hand that they feel that there's something there? Probably at least a foot, foot and a half away. They're going to pick their hand up, and they're going to say, okay, I feel a little something. They're going to know it's there. That's the energy field. That's
okay,
one example.
Cool. Yeah.
Huh. Awesome. This is really something that anybody can learn about. Anybody can practice. It has a lot to do with having a pure intention for healing. What we do is try to have just the pure intention for the highest and greatest good of the other person. And then just allow, have that good feeling in your heart. Have yourself cleared of all your concerns and troubles, and then you can work with that energy field. And it, you know, there's all the basic steps of therapeutic touch, which I won't get into. But, you know, if people want to study this or learn this, there's the books and there's the organizations and everything that people can do this. It doesn't
take
something
can
special
really,
or clairvoyance.
Really
you can really do it.
Yes, and we need healers out there. We need more healers.
Yes, and we need all the healers we
can
get. We need people with pure intention and connection with divine. That's what it is.
That's
with
true.
God.
Exactly.
With pure good. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wow, this was good because I hopefully some listeners learned, you know, the basics that what we're talking about here, because we're going to have more shows on different healing techniques and, you know, different ways, you know. And you're coming back for Dynamics of an Alcoholic Household, and then we're doing, I believe, sexual abuse in the next couple months. So we've got some good shows coming up. Some hard-hitting shows, right, Kathy?
That's right. Got to get them where it counts. You know, these are the things that are important in people's lives, and these are the things that are, it's important for people to be aware of, because we can go through life without, you know, we don't know why we don't feel good, or we don't know why we keep getting in relationships that don't work, but once you kind of have the light turned on and you can see what these patterns are, and you go, aha, I'm not the only one, and then that opens the door to healing. And
it does. Awareness, I feel, is half the battle.
Yes, awareness
like
is
said,
half the battle.
It,
and then you throw in all these extra helpful methods, and it's a very good journey, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And
yeah.
Then down the road, maybe you can help somebody else on their journey.
That's right.
And that's
right.
Yeah. So, well, thank you very much, Kathy. This was great, you know. And I will keep your auto up there, autobiography up on your biography on there, little blurb, and then maybe you can email me those books.
I will
and
send you. I will
okay.
send you a little bibliography. Then I'll include some of my
that would be great.
My Healing Touch nursing guides. I'll put some of those up there. And
okay, great.
You know, you'll have the websites probably, right?
Yes, I have some websites.
We can get the websites up there and get some of these books, and people can start to be aware of all these things.
And then we'll take it from there. And then I will be back, and then not next week, but the week thereafter, with some shows on authors. Kathy's going to be a couple shows and everything else. And I will be back from sabbatical. So, thank you very much, Kathy, and. Everyone
my pleasure,
there,
Amy. Thank you very
too.
Much. Thank
oh,
you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And may God be with everyone today. Take care. Bye-bye.